Somehow it seems like the Lord is wanting to remind us that what we once were, we are no longer. Or we shouldn't be. The devil will always come along with temptations and try to tempt you to break away from your faith in God and your... I've got a Bible full of those examples. People you thought were so strong and fastened in their faith, and here comes along temptation, and we say, how? Even though you are born again, there is that Adamic nature, Adam nature, that wants to raise up. You keep pushing it back down. Somebody pulls out in front of you, you don't say, "Whoa, bless you, my dear, bless you." You almost took my right quarter panel off, but may the Lord richly bless you, my hon. No, I'm afraid not. That whole Adamic nature wants to raise up. And so we keep pressing it back down, pushing it. Paul said, every time I try to do good, evil is always present. And I think this morning, if I can remind me and remind you, those that's listening in or watching by streaming this morning, it affects all of our lives. I've asked Brother Terry to read a certain portion of scripture out of 2 Kings chapter 17. If you have your Bibles, would you turn there with me? 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 29 through verse 33. This is a particular time in the life of Israel. They've been taken captive, hauled off, so to speak, to a foreign land. They've lived in this land for so long, it almost seems like they've been there forever. And so this narrative picks up. And it seems so truthful that the people that is in this scripture become very truthful about their God or gods that they serve. So, Brother Cherry, would you read for us 2 Kings 17, starting at verse 29, going to 33.
Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in the cities wherein they dwell. And the men of Babylon made Succoth-Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath had made Ashemah, and the Avites made Nibhaz in Tarkat, and the Sephavites burnt their children in the fire of Adrammeliach and Anamelech, the gods of Sepheverim. So they feared the Lord and made unto themselves the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods, and after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from hence.
And I want to share again, just the first part of verse 29. Howbeit every nation made gods of their own. And we have to be very careful that we don't make separate gods besides Jesus. What a world we live in today. And we say, well, this world is upside down. It's because every man is serving their own God. Whatever that may be, it seems that's what's happening. So it says, howbeit every nation made gods of their own, and putting them in the houses of the high priests. And it goes on and tells you the locations. Now here's the punchline in verse 33. They feared the Lord That's the God that you and I serve. Notice it is capital letters, L-O-R-D, capital letters. The Creator, the one we know that created all things, made all things, shaped all things, spoke the world into existence. They feared the Lord and served their own gods. God, let that not be the church. Amen. You hear me this morning? Yeah. Let that not be the church. Yeah. Let's don't declare Jesus Christ as we believe in Him and then go off and serve own gods of our past. Yeah. Habits, lifestyles, inclinations. That's powerful. They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. In other words, they brought their own gods into the land that they were living. Israelites had been living there as captives, but here came others from the land. That's like reoccupying country, and they brought in more people to occupy the country where the Israelites were being held captive. So when they came from their own countries to live in this land that the Israelites were living in, they brought their own gods. You and I come out of a world of sin and shame. We have to be very careful that we don't bring in the gods that we used to serve with us into the kingdom of God. You can't serve two masters. You serve one and hate the other. Amen? Somebody says, why is the church so tight and active as it used to be? I love this congregation. I love every family in here. We got a big sign outside in the vestibule that says commitment in 2019. One thing that this church age is lacking is this commitment. And I wonder if it could be because we do believe in Jesus Christ. And we do believe that He is the God of gods. Yet we still serve oh gods that we brought with us. Boy, that doesn't sound too cheery, does it? Doesn't sound too uplifting, does it? But it does get to the root sometimes of our problems. You know, God is God. Oh, I believe God is God. I believe God is real. God is powerful. But you know, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got, you know, and what we're saying is sometimes is we're just serving other gods. Could be a god of work. Anything that you place in front of the true living God becomes a deity that you're worshiping because you put that more important than the God who made you, who saved you, who healed you, who delivered you, who brought you out. Somebody ought to be shouting on this message. Somebody ought to be shouting on this message. Amen. Twice in the chapter of 2 Kings 17, the author of this notes, they feared the Lord, but they served their own gods. Now, I'll tell you what, I believe these scriptures teach us it is possible for man to have a desire to serve the Lord, yet lack the willpower to break away from his former life and former gods. I believe in God, but I just lack the will. I'd be up, I'd be on top of the mountaintop, but I just lack the will of climbing the mountain. I lack the will of fasting. I lack the will of praying. I lack the will on this and I lack the will on that. Do you believe in Jesus? Oh, I believe in Jesus, but I just lack the will, the drive, the purpose for doing so. All right? I'm convinced by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, that there may be even some here this morning that truly fear the Lord, yet they're serving other gods. See, Pastor, how can you make that statement? Listen, I'm here to lift you up. If you restore your brother, you have done a good thing. The church is not in the business of destroying. The church is in the business of restoring. Sometimes we need to have a little bit of movement in our mind, in our spirit. In other words, Israel had been evicted from the land of promise. It's been about 400 years, and the prophets told them that they did not repent and get right with God. And because of that, the Lord was going to send the Chaldeans, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and a host of others to come in and take them captive and carry them away from their land, and Israel continued to harden their hearts. Let me tell you what, one thing you should not do is continue to harden your heart. After so long, that ground of your heart gets so hard that nothing can penetrate it. It is better for us to fall upon the rock and be broken than have the rock fall upon us and grind us to powder. You say, Pastor, you need to uplift me. You need to encourage me. Give me something positive. I'm giving some hope to make heaven. I'm giving you some hope that our hearts won't get so hardened over the Word of God that we reject the Word of God. We need to repent of our sins and of our transgressions. I'm not your confessor. You go to God and you repent. You know, a person can start the back of the church and start repenting and time to get the altar if they fully repented. Amen. You don't have to confess your sins to me, nor do I to you. But I do have to confess them to Jesus Christ. Amen. How does it go? Lord, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. That's what the prodigal son said. Yes. I've sinned against you, and I've sinned against God. Amen. And all of a sudden, in this people here, suddenly they woke up one day to a very serious realization that many of their children, it's in the scriptures, their children and their friends were literally being eaten by live lions. That'll get your attention. Been eaten by live lions. You say, would God do that? Well, the Bible says this. In 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 25 and 26. Therefore the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital letters, sent lions among them, which slew some of them. If you're not careful, your heart will get so hard that God had to take drastic measures to get your attention. This is pastor speaking. Okay. Get your attention. It's not always jumping over the fence and running through the pasture and the clover leaves. There's times we've got to stop and take account and say, Lord, where am I with you in my relationship? And I begin to read a little further here that their city streets were not safe. Judgment fell upon them in the form of hungry lions. And I, needless to say, in addition to alarm and probably just in panic, it also sparked a bit of investigation. When God starts dealing with us, we need to start investigating, why is God dealing with us? Why am I going through this? Or what's happening to me? It's not because God dislikes you. He chastises those that he loves. He awakens those that he loves. And so they begin to investigate some things here. They wanted to know why suddenly ravenous beasts were roaming through their cities. Because lions generally didn't come into the cities and towns and eat children and adults. Someone spoke up and said, this land we're living in is not our land. It is the land of Israel. The Israelites have a God. They call him Jehovah. They really do not know anything about him. And perhaps we should send word to the king and tell him we are in trouble. And so they sent messengers to the king. The king turns around and sends a captive Israelite priest to explain to them perhaps what was happening. Weird, isn't it? The lions were devouring the people. The people inquired of the king. And the question was this: could it be because we do not know anything about God of the land of Israel? Let me tell you how important it is to know your scriptures, to know the word of God. Because if you don't know what the scripture says, you can run into some problems. Well, I go to church every Sunday. Well, I've read the Bible through 10 times. But did you understand what you read? That was a question that was asked of the eunuch in the book of Acts. He read from Isaiah 53. Let me tell you something. You can go to church for years and years and still not know what the scripture said because you have not availed yourself of the word of God to study it, to be approved, a workman of God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hey, here's the keys to this 911 supercharged Porsche. Awesome. I get inside, turn the keys on, and go through the brick building. One day, my grandson handed me the keys to his motorcycle. It was a cross-country racer. Well, I'm an adult. I'm a big guy. I straddled that motorcycle, started up, and the motorcycle went that way, and I went that way. If we're not careful, God's going one direction and we're going the other direction simply because we do not know how to handle God or how to worship God or how to understand God. Some, come on, give me one, at least one amen. Amen. Now, I'm doing this for a reason this morning because God said so. Sometimes we've got to be reminded the fact is that we love Jesus, but we're serving gods that he doesn't approve of every day of our life. We are serving things more importantly in the forefront of him than we ought to be doing. And so what happened here in this book of 2 Kings? Their profession was, we fear the Lord. Their practice was, we're going to serve our own gods. They had a will, their desire just not matching their will, their desire. Their desire was, we want to serve the Lord my way. We will not break away from our old life. We cannot give up our old gods, our old ways. They were victims of desire without a will to change accordingly what God had said. They weren't infidels. The scripture said they feared the Lord. They had faith. The problem was, it was only enough faith to produce fear in their hearts. Only enough fear to produce some respect for the God of Israel. Their fear of God meant their customs, their practices, and their way of life remained the same. They hoped to gain just enough religion to keep the lions away. Let me tell you what, don't say, I'm just living close enough to God, let's keep problems away. We're going to stand before God one of these days. We're going to see Him face to face. Every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. He's Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Who do you fear? Oh, we fear Jehovah. Who do you believe in? Oh, we believe in Jehovah. He exists. He's around. Who is the God of Israel? We are quick to tell you that Jehovah is God of this land. We fear Him. Oh, He's the God of church. When I'm in church, He's the God of church. But the rest of the time, we're out there serving our own gods, our own way, our own customs, our own past, our own background. It comes to haunt us. But when we come to church, it's God's kingdom. We believe in Him. He's God, and we serve Him. But not with all of our heart, not with all of our soul, not with all of our mind, and not with all of our strength. Somebody says, man, that motor is a little bit off. I can tell about the praise singers up here. I can sit here, and they sing great harmony. But I can tell you, when they're singing, ever had, I'll just say a six-cylinder, and two cylinders wasn't beating right? It sounds what? Rough. That's not dog language, that's car language. It sounds rough. It's not idling right. Amen? Come on, I'm trying to get you to heaven here. I want to go to heaven. And the difference here, I can be in harmony. I can believe. Now, I'm not picking on the praise team. They're fantastic, awesome, tremendous. Anybody believe that? Okay. But you can tell whether their heart is in it or it's not in it. They can sing in harmony, and it's just... How many like a preacher with fire? How many like a preacher with anointing? Have I got anointing this morning? Caught you, didn't I? I do have. Understand what I'm saying this morning. You can be in the land, but you're really not a believer. While you're in church, He's the awesome God. While you're out of church, you may not be so influenced by it. Basically, we just do not have a willpower to break away from our old habits and our old lives. And here's the kicker. Nor do we want to. Nor do we want to. This is pastor speaking this morning, amen? And I'll shout with the best of you. But my responsibility is watchman over the sheep. Watchman over the sheep. Responsibility of making sure the sheep make it to heaven as much as possible. Can't live it for you. But I can help you point out some things is that we see and sense in the Holy Ghost. Is the fact is that I'm into this with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, or that I'm not. Amen? Amen. I'm either along for the ride, and while I'm along for the ride, I believe. And I think that, well, I do not say the devil is more attractive than God. He can make himself appear that way. That's why sin is pleasure for a season. There's something about old gods that are just more attractive when it comes to participation in things than it is Jehovah God. The God that I serve is not a God of no and don't. He's a God of possibilities. Even today we see the enemy making himself and making sin more attractive than carnal minds than God will ever be. I know, for an instance, for example, a kid can say, I'm going to college and I'm involved in this college here. And it may be a Christian college. Yet you can go off to another college that's not a Christian college and say, man, they party. I like that college because they knew how to party. Get down. Boogie. Drinking. Drugs. Wow. They have a good time. And I go to the Christian college and it's boring. I go to church and it's boring. I go out in the world and have fun. How many times, if you were a parent that have kids, and say, I want to have fun. In my younger day, I used to dance on the stage. I used to play in the band. And I'd watch all the drunks when they get really drunk at the end of a set, at the end of the night, about 1 a.m. There's a few of them are laying on the floor, breathing around, rolling around the floor. They're so drunk they can't stand up. Man, didn't we have a time? No, we didn't. No. I tell you, the time I had was when I got filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and I spoke in tongues, as pretty God gave the evidence of it. I'll tell you the time was when I felt the uplift of the power of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you when I came in from a hard week or a hard day and I came into the house of God and the music is flowing, the power of God, and there's unction in the choir, there's unction in the instruments, there's unction in the pews, and the power of God, there's people worshiping God and the power moving. Hallelujah! Yes. And I go home feel lifted up and encouraged and strengthened and blessed.
Amen.
If we're not careful, church becomes simply a kingdom for the moment on a Sunday or a Wednesday. And I believe God, but I'll go back out and serve my old gods the next day. My wife is concerned about me. It could be because of my age. But she catches me talking a lot and nobody's around. Don't be smiling, Brother Amaya. I had such a conversation with the radio. I have a radio on the sink where I get ready. Every morning, every day. I turned on and there was a preacher on there. He and I had a conversation because he was totally wrong. I kept pointing out to him how wrong he was and where he got his doctrine. For some reason, he kept on going. I know that's not a shouting message, but it's a message that's going to take you to heaven. That's the destination. That's the in place. We cannot be a church that serves the Lord God, yet follow after other gods as well. Ezekiel 18 and 20 says, the soul that sinneth it shall die. James 1 and 5, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So we must all understand, Paul said, Give an account for the deeds done in this body, whether they are good or whether they are evil. Romans 14 and 12. In other words, here's the point here again. I may sin, you may sin, you may give in to temptation, I may give in to temptation, but when I realize I've done that and the Spirit of God touched my soul and my spirit, be quick to repent. Yeah. Repent. If you go unrepentant, that ground will be crusty and hard. And you'll give lip service that you believe in Jesus, but never surrender to Him. It is this point of our life, church, that God is so interested in. That we live for Him with all of our heart, our soul, mind, and strength, as I said earlier. And what is it that Satan has distinguished to make look more beautiful? What has he done to make this world look more attractive than Jesus Christ? A recent report is this, from the denominational world standpoint, that the denominational world is losing people from church. People are not coming to denominational churches anymore. There is some, but they're falling off. The numbers is drastically falling off. Why? Because, and I heard this, and you pardon me, but you just, sometimes on a Wednesday night, I don't wear a tie. Tie is not going to take you to heaven or send you to hell, one way or the other. I just get dressed up. I want to be my best. I want to look my best. If your best is a pair of blue jeans, then wear your best. If your best is a flannel shirt, wear it with your blue jeans. That's your best. The point is this. An older minister said this, and he wasn't Pentecostal. He said, when I see ministers start dressing down, a t-shirt on, maybe a little saggy, a little, you know, where they're trying to be at the same level as the ordinary guy out here on the street. You're not offering them anything any better than what they've got.
Oh, there you go. That's right.
I've got him. But I want you to know is that you can be better than where you're at right now. You know why? Because God gives blessings. I said God gives blessings. And if you want to take your blessings and store it away, that's between you and God. And you want to wear blue jeans, got a hose in them, not because of fashion, because you're just too cheap to buy a new pair of jeans. That's between you and God. But I want to do my best. Amen? Why would I want to come to the kingdom of God and look like the last rose of summer? Huh? When he's giving me the baptism of the Holy Ghost, why do I want to be so sad? Why do I want to be so hopeless? Why do I just want to believe that he exists on Sunday and Wednesday and then the rest of the week and the other time just believe in everything else? No. He's my God 7 days a week. He's my Redeemer 7 days a week. He's my healer 7 days a week. He's my joy 7 days a week. He's my power 7 days a week. Yes. Yes, yes. Why in the world are the lions eating us up anyway? So they inquired, why the lions are eating us up? Could it be that we're living in the land where the Israelites have a God? Can I tell you, when you are born again of water and spirit, when you got baptized in Jesus' name, felt the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's my argument with that radio preacher this morning. I want to ask him this question. And I did. because it's talking about the Apostle Paul and false prophets and all that kind of stuff. And I got a question for you. How many here this morning believe that the apostles and those of the early church were all baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? Let me see your hands. How were they all baptized? In the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. So stop preaching something that doesn't belong. So I kept telling that guy on the radio. We was talking about this in the office. I don't care what comes against you, what's going on in your life, the enemy trying to destroy you, whatever it may be. The disciples and the first century church face the same problems that you face every day in your life. There's nothing new under the sun, folks. Yet they turned their cities upside down. They turned their cities upside down. With the same problems, same opposition. Sometimes going in the jail. Sometimes when straps or stripes laid on their back. Come on. They face all of those things. Yet they turned their cities upside down, and the word flourished. And the woman went back to the city who rejected her. Come and see a man who have told me all things. Are we salt of the earth? Are we telling people that Jesus Christ is more than God on a Sunday and a Wednesday? He's a God 7 days a week. Powerful God. Awesome God. Saving God. Redeeming God. Restorer God. Or are we just here long enough to get through the Sunday? It's like living in the land, if that's the case, living in the land where you believe Israel's God, but you still follow your own gods. That's a sobering thought. Why is people leaving denominational churches? Because the world is more attractive than what they're offering him. And I've said this year after year after year after year after year after year. If there's a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost, you say, well, I'll wait till the preacher, he'll stir me up. No, no, you ought to be stirred up before the preacher begins to the pulpit. You ought to be on fire before the preacher. Well, I want the choir to get me going. No, 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 no. You got to get going on your own. Because it's you who's going to stand before God. It's not the choir, not the praise team. Although they will, and I will. But it's not them who's going to make it happen for you. I believe not only God is real, but he's greater than any of the God that this world tries to propagate. A stone God can't do for you what a living God can do. A wood God cannot do for you what a living God can do for you. A wooden cross can't do for you like the man who was on the cross, who came down and came out of the grave alive and powerful. Nobody can do for you like Jesus can do for you. Oh, God. Nobody can do that. He was born in Bethlehem. Calvary's cross. Paul said it like this in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 17. Descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Who, please tell me who I can compare him to. who I can compare Jesus to. Please tell me. I don't know why I'm alive today. But every breath and aspect of my life, until He takes me, He's got to be more than a God and land on a Sunday and a Wednesday. He's got to be our God that we know, more powerful, more awesome than anything else in our life. Then I walk into the hospital room, lay my hands under the oxygen tent. In the name of Jesus. And see God perform a miracle. He does miracles on Monday. He does miracles on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. He does miracles on Thursdays and Fridays. And Saturdays. Oh, they believed. But they followed their own gods. I don't give ear to the voice of the enemy saying you cannot or you're not good enough or strong enough or smart enough. Or because you've failed, because you've sinned. Don't believe the lying voice of the one who wants nothing more than you to be destroyed and your dreams to be destroyed. If you sin, repent. You don't repent to me, you repent to your God that you sinned against. Don't believe the lying voice of the one who wants nothing more than you to be destroyed. Let me tell someone here this morning, set your desire on Jesus Christ. Let your heart cry out with the psalmist, whom have I in heaven but thee? Whom do I have in heaven but thee? And there is more up on the earth that I desire. Let your desire this morning for Jesus Christ become the will to fulfill His destiny in your life. Or His destiny for this congregation. This is not just a feel-good station. Though I feel good. When I'm with my brothers and my sisters. Oh, do I feel good. But I sit in the early morning hours and God, and I pray for Sister Keckler. She's my sister. I pray for everyone. I pray for Ellen. Why? Because He's my God at 4 a.m. as He is at high noon. He's the deliverer. He stops the mouth of lions who tries to devour your children. He closes the mouth of lions who roam the streets of this world. God takes us through troubling times. That's for sure. Though he destroy me, I shall praise him. Though I'm a sick afflicted, I shall praise him. He's my God 24/7. Church, he's your God 24/7. Let my will become stronger to serve him than ever has before. Let's stand together, shall we? Would you pray that with me this morning? Let my will to serve him be stronger in the day we live than it ever has before. God, I do not want to serve other gods that I used to serve. I don't want to serve those things of the past that I brought from a foreign country into this country of the kingdom of God. Just lift your hands up. Let's pray together. This church is a mighty church. But it can become greater. Surrender to the Lord's will and purpose. Let my will be made stronger to serve you, to live for you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Halabokusha la motosheta la makayata. I believe in Jesus. But my will be surrendered to God's will. God, your will in my life. Let it be stronger than it ever has before. What a great church. What a recovery church. Where people can come and be recovered and realize that God is more than just a Sunday and a Wednesday God. God.